Good morning and welcome to the service. Amen. The title of our message this morning says, yield to the care of the shepherd of our soul. In the Bible, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was proclaimed and has shown himself as a pre-incarnate Christ from the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, he is revealed as a shepherd. Example and many, many examples. The major one, like even people in the world, they know that scripture is Psalm 23, where David was saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And he talks of how then the shepherd cares for him. And then in Psalm 100, and I would like us to read that Psalm. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So that kind of really, even if we are not sure, it circles it that he is a shepherd and we are the sheep. So as sheep, you know, one thing that is so obvious about a sheep is that a sheep, you can even kill it. It just yields. So unlike a goat or a cow or a chicken, you can even slaughter a chicken, it will still run. But a sheep will just yield. So that's how the Lord sees us. He sees us as this vulnerable in a way that a sheep, you know how they behave. Sometimes they even put their heads together. I mean, they really, really need a shepherd. So we do need a shepherd as children of God. And it is a wonderful thing that he has decided to be our shepherd. He has chosen this role to be our shepherd. So when you say yield, is be a sheep. Just be who you are in him. Then follow his lead. Amen. To the Apostle Peter in the book of John, I think it's John 21, he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? And then there's that issue of Peter being a little bit hurt because he says, no, Lord, you know. Because in the past, Peter had declared that, Lord, until death, I'm with you. So now Peter is a bit shaken to say, oh, God, why are you asking me even in front of all these guys that how much do I love you? But I had rejected you and I said, I don't know you, you know. But even in that chapter, the Bible says Jesus was busy restoring him. So that he was talking to him about his love and getting deep into him to say, do you love me? And he said at the end, Lord, you know all things. So the last part, he says, Peter, do you love me? And then he says, feed my sheep. So, but today I'm going to go to this one of tend my sheep. The definition of tend, the dictionary explains it as like you usually, like you tend to be naughty, or you tend, like the thing that you sometimes do, so you tend to behave this way or something like that. But the other definition is also, it talks about when you tend something, it directly says like a shepherd would tend sheep. So it's about caring, and also a teacher or a barman would tend the bar, you know, so you're busy giving service on that thing. So when you look at that, it's about the caring that you get from the shepherd, fountain of his word. One thing that the Lord showed me personally after some months was that there shall no more be any sacrifice. That was in the form of a dream. I won't go into details. When he says no more sacrifice, it means as a person enters here, you shall not expect that you shall be screened. And with that, I understood what Job said when he said, I repent unto ashes. After God told him his righteousness. And he said, I repent unto ashes. That has got a broader meaning because it means the sacrifice was burnt. So the sacrifice has been accepted to God. So when you repent, changing your mind, you realize that here are the ashes, everything is complete. So repenting to ashes is about understanding that all the sacrifice has been accepted and is done. So we are preaching the finished work of Christ. Hence, we always look at what the apostles did and how did they proclaim the work of Jesus after he rose from the dead and he left. Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 25, he speaks of these three things. I would like to quickly read because it's not a lot of a reading. Paul was a prisoner here, and the Jews that were accusing him, they were not even able to conclude his matter. So he was just kept in that prison, and then he was given a chance here to talk to these nobles and the king, King Agrippa. Then he gave the background, and then he says, "Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come." So these are the things that the apostles were working on. Righteousness, which in this house over the past months has been the theme of us understanding that we are righteous before God. We have the righteousness that is from God. It's not our works. We have nothing to do. We had nothing that we could not have done to deserve it. So we are righteous. And the other area is self-control. So we need to understand about self-control, because we are living and we need to have the life that reflects the glory of God. And then the other thing is about judgment to come. This thing of the judgment to come, it is coming. Judgment is clearly an appointed time for the time to come. And one thing that I'm seeing, I've noticed in the New Covenant, it comes with a lot of cautions as much as the Lord protects his covenant. He says, this is what I've done. I have delivered my people, and let anyone who preaches any other gospel be accursed. That's as high as he puts it. So if you'd come and tell them now to go back to the law and preach another gospel, let that person be accursed. So those are kind of conditions that you look at. So this is about the new covenant. The whole focus is about Jesus Christ, who came and who gave us a new covenant. And then a covenant comes with protection against the enemies of the partner. If ever there would be a covenant, or even now, like brotherhood, if you are my brother and, you know, gangsters, they are in covenants. Once you touch him, you touch me. So it's protection comes there. So it's just like that. So in our case, our Lord protects us against the wiles and the darts of the enemy. So that's why today we are looking at him tending, looking after us. Issues of self-control. A thorny matter that I want us to look at today is about forgiveness. Before we go there, I just want to highlight the excellency of our God. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says, I've removed the words I am, because the M, it's italized. So like Simpi was reading the Amplified, it says I, you know. So where he emphasizes, it's just I. And in Isaiah 43, it says I, he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Here he was talking to the people who were not even praying, people who had even forgotten about him. And he said, you have not even prayed, you have not even sought me, but I am the one that removes your transgressions. And in Hosea, it says, I am God and not man. There he says, I'm not going to come back and judge Ephraim. I'm not going to come and destroy or do anything. I will forgive. And in that story, it's also about a gross injustice that they had done to God. But God says, I am God and not man. And it is a wonderful thing to know that God is the one that forgives. No man has a capacity than God to forgive. And we understand that because even before we were born, before the foundations of the earth, actually, he prepared a sacrifice. And he said, this shall cover all their iniquities. So we came and we lived, and then unfortunately we just get into the law as well, and then we get confused. But the thing is, he has forgiven us. That he prepared, and Whatever sin that we may have, He has forgiven us, and it's up to us to receive our forgiveness. And then in James, it talks about God still being a jealous God. He looks after His own. And in the past, He says, I'm a jealous God, so you shall not serve any other God but me. That was with the Israelites. And then in James, He says, I'm still a jealous God. So you cannot serve sin and then you serve me. You serve me. So He's jealous over us, not because of the sin. He has taken care of the sin matter, but He knows that we'll have the tendency of falling back. So He says, you cannot serve both kings now. You are mine, and I'm a jealous God. He vindicates, He protects, He leads, He guides. And while He is so big, and I mean, whatever that I've written here is just few examples of how excellent our God is. He's just big, He's a majestic God. He is super, super. Amen. Yet, He has made us to be partakers of His divine nature in Christ. And He has given us and capacitated us in our spirit. We are full with the fullness of God. And He even says, greater is me that is in you. So we understand that He lives in us and He is the greater one. And in our generated spirit, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. So in the Bible it says, it's not yet revealed who we are actually. We are these aliens that are not really seen. But when He comes, He shall reflect this glory that is in us. So we shall look like Him as He comes. And He has given us the will. I mean, every man is a creation of God. He has given us a willpower. So we can exercise our will. When I say I will and I will not, just like God. Amen. So the thorny issue that needs to be pricked out today, or as the Lord leads and highlights out of many other things that He can highlight, is the issue of forgiveness. So in Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant. Please note, we're talking about a servant. And we now are free. Jesus called us brothers, and He says, you are now my brothers because I tell you what I do. You're not just servants, but because we have received His love, we are bond servants. We have chosen, decided to serve Him. So we are servants of God. Amen. Verse 21 is the parable of the unforgiving servant. It says, then Peter came to Him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. I believe that this section comes after the one that I'm going to read in Luke. Because Peter has an idea. Maybe he was far that day when Jesus said 7 times. So here he says, up to 7 times. And then Jesus said, I do not say up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And I wanted to show you that scripture, like a WhatsApp from my phone where it says, ish, now I have to learn maths, not only forgive, because what is 70 times 7? Now you have to calculate, it's 490 times in one day. So you have to also learn maths, but it's just a joke. So he says, I'm not saying 7 times, but 70 times 7. I just want to give you a little bit of what I understand. And it's my understanding of this, and based on biblical numbers that I've got to understand a little bit. So I'm not saying this is universally so. This is just my understanding. I've learned that 7 means complete or perfection. God created the heavens and the earth, and He did everything, and He said it was perfect. Took 7 days. On the 7th, He rested. So it was perfect. And then completion and everything. That is 7. 10 represents a whole. So that's why when we say a tenth of your income, it represents all your income. And then it says that tenth, when it's blessed, when the tenth is blessed, the rest is blessed. So you bring this tenth, it represents the whole, and then the rest is blessed. Then when he says, when he now raises the standard, not to say 7 times 7 like in the one that I'm going to read now. He says 70 times 7. He's now taking it to the level of, it's about, not only about your capacity. It's about the work that Jesus has now done in you that you can be able to forgive completely. And it's not at your standard. And that's why it is by faith. It's, you may not, with your willpower, just be able to forgive, especially if you were really, really made wrong. I mean, you hear like people like Joyce Meyer who were abused for years as a child, you know, by his father and mother looking and neglecting. And that capacity, you really could say, really, really, I deserve not to. They wronged me. You can reason out and say, no, it's too much. You can think that you have a right. But the Lord says, it should be completely, because even the work that he came to do for us, he came to die, even for him to come, before the foundation of the earth, he prepared the issue of forgiveness. It was all the redemption plan, and that redemption plan talks about forgiveness. So in this area, we are expected that we will be able to master it by faith, and it's not just our strength, by believing what he has done in us, for us, because he has done it and we can be able to do it. Amen. And then in Luke, Jesus warns of offenses. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. And just that, it tells you that he cares for one. When he talks about one of these little ones, he was talking about the people that were coming to hear him talk. So it's people that are following Jesus. And touching his church, you're messing with him. That's why I was talking that the covenant person, he protects. And who has got the power in this covenant? He's got the power. And touch my little ones. And even in the Old Testament, he was saying, touch not my prophets, do my prophets no harm. So he protects. We have a big bodyguard. Amen. And then take heed to yourselves, that's verse 3. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So I think this is where Peter got this 7 times thing. But he just says, if he comes 7 times, you know. And then the later one, he says, this is the number then, you know, that you can actually forgive. And then it says in verse 5, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Throughout this book, or even in other areas, he said, go heal the sick. They went and healed the sick. He said, go take out demons. They went and took out demons. And then he said, go raise the dead. They went and raised people from the dead. But when he says, forgive your brother, they say, increase our faith. That you know, it means it's just perceived as a very difficult thing. And it could be a very difficult thing. So the Lord says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant, now this is where I also want us to see the issue, that as I raised the point that we are his servants, and he looks at us as those servants, and he is not directly saying, remember you are my servants, no. He's saying, which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? You'll never say that. But he says, but will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and get yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. So then this service, you're not just going to drop it, but you shall continue in it. Then he says, does he thank the servant because he has done the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, You, when you have done all things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty. And in this, I've been understanding that faith is a servant. You know, your faith, you send it to work. So send that faith of yours to work, to say, in this, I need to forgive. It's not my understanding. I need to forgive because I'm forgiven. That's it. And also in the book of Matthew where we read, he also goes into the issue of the servant, that we are his servants, and that's the least we can do, because it's really about redemption and the removal of sins. And if he has forgiven us, who are we not to forgive? And the Lord capacitates us. He gives more grace. And the thing is, when we, in our minds and with our understanding, think, no, it's impossible, I can't do it, then we project ourselves as self-righteous, because then it's me, I can't, you know. Then it means we are proud. Then just those things, they just reveal more of our character. James 4, verse 5, he says, or do you think that the scripture says in vain that the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So it is possible, and he gives us grace to do it. How do we exercise our faith? As we've been learning, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We need to understand that as born servants, we have died to sin and its lusts. And our lives is not our own. We are now born servants to God. We're serving God. Amen. And the aim of all this work that God has done is for us to receive the end of our faith. After we've done all to stand, you know, we stand therefore. That exercising of our faith in what God has done, in capacitating us to be able to forgive, it leads to the salvation of our souls. Because yes, he has saved us in terms of our righteousness. We are his. As I have noted in the scriptures, even as you look in the Bible, in the New Testament, when he cautions about these accursed people and all this, he is talking about people in the house of God, preachers who proclaim the word of God. The issue is that all this that happens in our souls, as he's caring for us, we understand how it can work with faith in dealing with the issue of forgiveness, as it's confirmed in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The Bible talks about being a living sacrifice to God. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That is reasonable, because you are now redeemed. You belong to him. That's the reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Amen. This measure of faith that we have, and the Bible says in Galatians 2 verse 20, we have the faith of Jesus Christ. So he does not expect us to act on something that he has not capacitated us with. So we have the faith of Jesus Christ, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. I just needed to really point out these points as the message comes on forgiveness. And it comes with caution, and it comes with the understanding that it is possible for us to forgive. You know, and as I received that scripture, I got to understand that there was an issue around somebody that did not forgive me. And the Lord was needing me to pray for that person. The Bible says, as you pray even for your offenders, you are heaping coals of fires over their head, so that the wrath of God will not strike those people. So they will not see the wrath of God because you've prayed for them. And it's even more powerful when it's you, the one that was offended, when you pray for the offender. Because you are pleading to God to rescue them. And he said, forgive them, Father, because they know not what they are doing. So we forgive because he forgave. And he said that on the tree when he was dying for us, for our sins. And as I said before, the redemption story, all what Jesus came to do is about forgiveness. Amen. We are going to have Holy Communion. And I will just thank the Lord for the word this morning. Father, we thank you for this word. I thank you that you have given me the utterance, Lord. And you have put to remembrance, Father God, the things that I needed to say. And I thank you, Father God, that your word does not come back to you void, but it accomplishes what you sent it for. So, Lord, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for the freedom that comes in knowing you, the freedom that comes in being partakers of your divine nature. I thank you, Father, for liberty, for it was for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. So we are free indeed, and we are able, Father God, to fulfill and accomplish your will, because you are here with us. Greater is you that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. For our communion, I will read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, where it says, inasmuch as then the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. There is a scripture in 1 Corinthians. He says, as you take this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. The devil brought death to the human race. Jesus Christ came and used death to destroy him. So that was like, boom, boom, checkmate, you know. He really just showed his wisdom to say, I use death. And the Bible says, if the principalities knew what they were doing when they let him to die, they wouldn't have let him die. But they didn't know that now it's the end for them. They were just starting their destruction or defeat. So the Bible says he might destroy him who had the power of death. He no longer has. He had the power of death, that is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And the unfortunate thing is that, as they say, fear is like when you put the abbreviation, it's false evidence appearing real. It's the lies of the enemy. It's nothing real. It's false evidence. But it looks so real that we can be entangled and really not see the light. But Jesus Christ has defeated that. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. And that is who we are, because we believe in Jesus, the seed that was promised from Abraham, and we are the seed of Abraham in that sense. We are partakers of Abraham's promise. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that is just like all of us, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are being tempted. So we can take that courage and we just rest in knowing that Jesus Christ, his body went through all the temptations that we can face. So he is still also able to aid us. So as we partake of the bread and the blood, these emblems, as the representatives of the covenant that we have, the new covenant of peace in the blood of Jesus Christ. We remember, we're proclaiming. It's just like when you trample down and enforcing, like, remember, devil, you're under my feet. We are doing that. We're saying, we are proclaiming that Jesus Christ died. He is now able to aid us. He was one of us. And the Bible says we have not a high priest that cannot feel what we feel. So he went through all. He understands. Whatever situation, he understands. Amen. Let's partake. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ that was broken for us, that was crushed for our iniquities, and by whose stripes we were healed. Lord, we thank you for the blood of the covenant, that we are now partakers of your divine nature. We thank you for the greatness of our God, that we are now called the children of God. And we thank you, Lord, in all your wisdom, that you have made us and drawn us near. And now we are close, and we are kings and priests unto God. We thank you, Father, for this time. We thank you for victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me proclaim a blessing upon the congregation. Thank you, Lord, for this time. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are blessed. And right now, I declare that each and every one of us is blessed going in and blessed going out. Thank you, Father, that you increase everything. For Lord, whatever that we touch prospers. We thank you, Lord, that you walk with us. We thank you, Father, that we shall never be forsaken, and that you meet each and every need according to your riches and glory. So the Lord's face is shining upon us. Our light has come, as you say in Isaiah 60. Our light has come. So we arise, Father. And we thank you that even gross darkness shall fill the earth. But in us, your light rises up. And we are more than conquerors in Christ. And we are protected from every wiles of the enemy, because our chief shepherd is with us. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.